Good morning, everyone. It's good to have you with us this morning. It's a beautiful summer morning. We can now say it's summertime, and it's beautiful, and we're glad to join. And some, I think, are away because of the holiday weekend. Some are taking their children to camp and golf, and we just pray to be with them. Let's turn this morning just for a few moments to 2 Kings chapter 5. 2 Kings chapter 5, we'll read, and then we'll make some comments from this account of Naaman, the commander in the Syrian army. But 2 Kings chapter 5 at verse number 1. It says, Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master. Because of him, the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor and a leper. And the Syrians had gone out on raids and had brought back captive a young girl from the land of Israel. She waited on Naaman's wife. And she said to her mistress, if only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he would heal him for his leprosy. And Naaman went in and told his master, saying, thus and thus said the girl who is from the land of Israel. Then the king of Syria said, go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel. So he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothing. Then he brought the letter to the king of Israel, which said, now be advised when this letter comes to you, that I have sent Naaman my servant to you, that you may heal him of his leprosy. And it happened when the king of Israel read the letter, that he tore his clothes and said, am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man sends a man to me to heal him of his leprosy? Therefore, please consider and see how he seeks a quarrel with me. And so it was when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, that he sent the king, saying, why have you torn your clothes? Please let him come to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. Then Naaman went with his horses and chariot, and he stood at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean. But Naaman became furious and went away and said, indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean? And so he turned and went away in a rage. And the servants came near and spoke to him and said, my father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more then when he says you wash and be clean? And so he went down and dipped 7 times in the Jordan according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 4 and verse 27, the words of the Lord Jesus, he said, and many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet, and none of them were cleansed save Naaman the Syrian. We know that the Lord will add his blessing to the word of God today. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we're so thankful today for your word. We thank your God for the liberty that we have to proclaim it and to teach from it. But Father, without the help of the Holy Spirit, we will be useless. So we ask that he might be here today, that he would and take thy word and use it for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you again for our time together. Thank you for prayer time, and thank you for your word today. Bless us now as we continue. In our Savior's precious name, amen. Perhaps none of you, or very few of you, have heard of Darcy Island. Anybody here have heard of Darcy Island? Well, Darcy Island is actually near Vancouver in British Columbia. And visitors to the campground of Darcy Island near Victoria, they often sense an eerie feeling that sharply contrasts with the tranquility of the forest area surrounded by Pebble Beach. And unbeknownst to most who go there, they are actually trading on unmarked graves because Darcy Island was at one time a leper colony. And so we find that, indeed, we had a leper colony here in Canada. And in the year 2000, television made a documentary called The Island of Shadows, Darcy Island, Leper Colony, 1891 to 1924. Leprosy is not just common across the world, but as I say here, it has been here in Canada. Leprosy begins, we're told, with a small white spot lying lower than the surface of the skin. The hair within it turning white. This would spread and raw flesh would appear, and the body would assume a chalk whiteness. The senses would become blunted. As we turn to the Word of God, we find that leprosy in the Bible was treated by the law of God as an extreme form of ceremonial defilement. Leviticus chapter 13, if you have a Bible with a heading on it, that chapter is called the Laws of Prophecy, or Leprosy. Leviticus 13 says, when a man shall have the skin of his flesh a rising scab, or bright spot, and it be in the skin of the flesh, like the plague of leprosy, then he shall be brought unto Aaron the priest, or unto one of his sons the priests. And the priest shall look on the plague in the skin of the flesh, and when the hair of the plague is turned white, and the plague is sight be deeper than the skin of his plague, it is plague of leprosy, and the priest shall look on him, and pronounce him unclean. And the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent, and his head bare, and he shall put a covering upon his upper lip, and shall cry, unclean, unclean. All the days wherein the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled. He is unclean, he shall be alone. Without the camp shall his habitation be. And these are the laws of the Old Testament, because as we find in the time of the Lord Jesus, there was many lepers in the land, and down through history, there's many hair lepers taught to us in the Bible. But leprosy, as we look at it, we find reading some reading on it, that leprosy is hereditary. It's contagious. It's exclusive. It separates people one from another, and people become isolated. And at that particular time, it was incurable by any known means. It causes great suffering with leprosy, and finally, it ends in death itself. We're introduced here in the Bible in 2 Kings chapter 5 and verse 1 to a man who was a leper. Naaman was his name. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, when he was a great man of his master and honorable because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria, he was also a mighty man and valor, but he was a leper. The story of Naaman is historical. We find that Lord Jesus Christ gives us authenticity as he refers to it even in the New Testament. We find it says that many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophets, and none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the prophets. He was a great man. He was a commander in Israel in Syria. He was honorable, we're told. He was a mighty man. And he enjoyed many victories in battle. But he was a leper. He was infected. He was isolated. He was incurable. He suffered. He was separated from other people. And he suffered and would suffer eventually death itself. As we think or look around us today, we find there are many descriptions made of people. He is a great football player. He is a great hockey player. He's a great athlete. He was a great politician. And you can take your name and my name, and we could write a characteristic of ourselves. What we do, where we live, our nationality, and things that. But you know, after we've done that, after that characteristic and that description of each one of us, God would add one more statement to each of us. I was born in Northern Ireland. I came to Canada, I attended Bible school, and so on. I could tell you many things about my life. But at the very end, God puts a statement after everything I say about myself, but I am a sinner. Every one of us, no matter what our characteristics, no matter where we are, no matter what we do, God looks upon us and says, but, he says, you are a sinner. And that's something perhaps that's now here little about today. But we find this we need because of sin. There's suffering and there's separation and there's certain death will come to us. There's suffering around the world today. You look around us and we find the suffering is caused not only because of our characteristics, but because of our sin. We're isolated. We've been separated from God because of our sin. And eventually, if we do nothing about it and nothing happens in our lives, we will face eternal death itself. Naaman was a leper. He was all these other things, but he was a leper. You and I have many things about us, but we are all sinners in God's sight. In Genesis chapter 3 and 14 and 24, we find there the Garden of Eden. The Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed among all cattle, and above every beast of the field, upon the belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake, in sorrow shalt thou eat it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it was thou taken, for dust thou art, and dust thou shalt return. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of the living. And unto Adam also unto his wife did the Lord make coats of skin and clothe them. And the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil, and now lest he put forth his hand, and take also the tree of life, and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the garden of Eden to till the ground from which it was taken. And so he drove out the man, and he placed at the east end of the Garden of Eden cherubims and flaming swords which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Naaman suffered because of his leprosy. You and I suffer because of our sin. Sin which started in the Garden of Eden. There we find that God came and he said to Adam and Eve, he said, the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. As they took that fruit that day and they disobeyed their Creator, we find that entered a process of death, physical death in their lives, but also there was that threat and that consequence of eternal life that would come to them, or eternal death that would come to them. Much suffering ending in death. Romans 5 and 12 tells us, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men because of sin. Romans 1 and 20, Romans 2, we find, last time I spoke I referred to Romans in the matter of sin, but here we find three statements of the sinner. We are sinners without excuse. Romans 1 and 20, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even as eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. We are sinners without escape, it finds also. How shalt thou escape the judgment of God? We are sinners without exception, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All of us, no matter the description, no matter we can put, as it were, in our portfolio today, that portfolio will end by that statement that God has said that we are all sinners in God's sight. And so we find in Romans chapter 6 and 23, it says, the wages of sin is death. Suffering, separation from God, and finally eternal separation from him and eternal life. And so the first thing we find in this story of Naaman is the reality of the leprosy. It was real. There was no mistake about it. The Bible says very clearly that he was a leper. And as we look at the scriptures and we find ourselves, we find there's the reality of sin. Sin is real. We find there's suffering in the world, disobedience, ambition, pride, criticism, malice, envy, strife, blasphemy, deceit, immorality, and we could go on and on and on as we find and look at other people and look at ourselves. And finally, there's that separation, which is eternal death. Naaman had a problem, and that problem was real. And the human race, everybody born into the human family, has that problem of sin. And that sin is real, starting in the Garden of Eden and continuing down through the years. But then as we look further in this chapter, we find there is not only the reality of the leprosy, but there was a remedy that was offered. 2 Kings chapter 5 and verses 2 and 3. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. The little girl, we don't told too much about her. We're not even told her name. But here she was in the home of Naaman and his wife. She was a maid. She'd been taken captive in Israel and brought to Syria. As this little girl worked in Naaman's life, she was free up servant. She looked and she saw her master. She saw those white spots on his face as it began to develop in his life. And then she said, Would God, my Lord, as she said to Naaman's wife, Would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. This little girl was in a foreign country. There she was, far from home. All around her were the enemies of God. And yet when she saw the need of her master, she very quickly spoke up. Would my Lord with the prophet as in Samaria, for he would recover him. She didn't say, well, if he goes there, he might be recovered. But she had the confidence in the word which she was proclaiming. She had the confidence in the message that she was giving to Naaman, the leper. And so, you know what it is, dear friends, you know, we live in a foreign country, don't we? We live in a country where there's enemies of God. All around us there are sinners. All around us are those who indeed have no time for God. And the more and more with the situation in the States, and you know, I find in the internet this week that somewhere in the States they were kicking the Bible around because the Bible teaches and disagrees with abortion. But a group in, I think it was Delaware, they were kicking the Bible around. Things like are happening in our world today. But do we have a message for the world? Are we silent with that message? We have that message. That message simple says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. We find so quickly and so reverently, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him should not perish, but shall have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Yes, so we see indeed the reality of the leprosy, the reality of sin, but we see the remedy that God gave this little girl in that foreign country as she looked upon her master. And he's given to us, as we have trusted in him, he's given to us a message. Therefore, let us not be silent. There's a silence in the churches today. There's a silence because the gospel is not being proclaimed. Even in many of our evangelical churches today, the gospel is not being proclaimed. Oh yes, there's messages from the Bible and so forth. Message how to live and so on and so on. But the message, the true message of the gospel is not being proclaimed. The hymn writer spoke like this, he said, I have a message from the Lord, hallelujah. The message unto you I'll give, 'tis recorded in his word, hallelujah. It is only that you look and live. I have a message full of love, hallelujah. A message, oh my friend, for you. 'Tis a message from above, hallelujah. Jesus said it, and I know it's true. Life is offered unto you, hallelujah. Eternal life your soul shall have. If it only look to him, hallelujah, look to Jesus, and alone can save. Look and live, O sinner, live. Look to Jesus now and live. It is recorded in his word, hallelujah. It is only that you look and live. We have a message from the Lord. That little girl had a message. And listen, what's another hymn has put it. Sinners Jesus will receive. Sound this word of grace to all. Who the heavenly path will leave, all who linger, all who fall. Come and he will give you rest. Trust him, for his word is plain. He will take the sinfulest. Christ receiveth sinful men. Now my heart condemns me not. Pure before the law stand. He who cleansed me from all spots, satisfied with last demand. Sing it o'er and o'er again. Christ receiveth sinful men. Make the message clear and plain. Christ receiveth sinful men. That little girl before her master, she made her message clear and plain. Oh, if my master would go to the prophet Israel, he would be healed of his leprosy. And that's the message that you and I have today. Let's make it clear and plain. There's a way back to God, that Laura said. There's a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. There's a door that is open, and you may go in. At Calvary's cross is where you begin when you come as a sinner to Jesus. Yes, we see the reality, we see the remedy, the message that the little girl gave. But you know, as I thought about that and looked at this little girl, we'll call her the messenger. The Syrians had gone out by companies and brought her away captive into Israel, into Syria. A little maid. For little is told about her, except you waited for Naaman's wife. In a foreign country, recognizing Naaman's need and unashamedly bringing the message of salvation. You know, as I consider this, I saw something in that little girl. That little girl was standing in the gap between Naaman and death. Think of a sinner out here, and then listen, down the road, there's a place called hell. And God in his mercy and his love from time to time will place someone or something in that gap to prevent that person from going to hell. This little girl, she stood in the gap between Naaman, who was facing sure death because of his leprosy. And she brought to him the message of salvation, we'll call it, standing in the gap. Perhaps a family, perhaps a Sunday school teacher, a Christian camp, Delification Bible School, an assembly. God places all of these in our lives, and you can think of who or what was placed in that gap between you and hell itself. But of course, the greatest thing that ever happened was that God placed his Son upon Calvary's cross as the gap between humanity and hell. So this girl, she was a messenger. She was placed in the gap. And God has placed his Son, the Lord Jesus, upon the cross. And people come to that cross, and they're stopped, as it were. They're stopped, and God says to them, he says, I gave my life, the Lord Jesus. I gave my life for thee, my precious blood I shed, that thou mightst ransom be and quicken from the dead. I suffered much for thee, much more than thy tongue can tell, of bitterest agony to rescue you from hell. The reality of the leprosy, the reality of sin, the remedy and the message that we have, the message the little girl had, even as she stood before a master, as she stood in the gap between him and death. But then we have to move on. Our time is moving today. Because then we read in verses 5 to 13, and the king of Syria said, go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, and 6,000 pieces of gold, and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought a letter to the king of Israel, saying, now when this letter is come to you, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman, my servant, to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. The little girl brought the message, and the king was listening, the king of Syria, he says, look, why not go? Why not go down there to Israel? This little girl says, if you go there, you'll be healed from your leprosy. And so it were that he read a letter. He prepared a letter. And then he also brought other things. He brought gold and silver and clothing. And he sent Naaman on his way down to the king of Israel. But when he came to the king of Israel, we find that the king of Israel wasn't too pleased. Actually, he was very annoyed. He said, this man is trying to get a quarrel with me. And so we see in this, as we continue our story today, we not only see the reality and the remedy, but we see the reaction. The reaction. What happened when Naaman went down to Israel. We see, first of all, we find the conception. They sent gold and they sent silver and so on. And the king of Syria said, go and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought to the king. And then when the king brought it, he said, and it came to pass, the king of Israel had read the letter that he rent his clothes and said, am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. He rent his clothes. And then, of course, Elijah comes into the picture. 10 talents of silver, 1,000 pieces of gold, and 10 changes of raiment. And their conception, or how they looked upon the understanding of what was required from them, was totally wrong. Totally wrong. There are many people in our world today, and they'll ask, how can you get to heaven? And they give you all this list of things of how they believe they can get to heaven. Well, if I'm good, if I follow the golden rule and so forth. But let's remind ourselves today that is not the way of salvation. It is not. Isaiah 64 and 6, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags. We do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. In Romans we read, therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in the sight, for by law is the knowledge of sin. That no man is justified in the law, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared unto all men. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration. Are we reminded in Peter, for as much as you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver or gold from the strange conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. The reaction to the message of the little girl was, we had to do something. We have to send all these things to the king of Israel, and then he will, as it were, heal Naaman from his leprosy. But that's not the way it would be. And so it is when the sinner comes and we find the way of salvation, it's not by works. It's not through the keeping of the law. It is simply, as we'll find in a moment, it's by faith and trust in the word of God and what he's given us. So we see the conception, but then we see what we call consternation, a feeling of strong annoyance and anger. And so Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth, and went away and said, behold, I thought, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them to be clean? And so he turned and went away in a rage. He came to the house of Elisha. The king sent him. Elisha sent a message, send him to me. I'll show him there's a prophet in Israel. And so he came, and he sent his servant probably into the house. And then Elisha sent his servant out with a message. The message was simply, Naaman, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times. And we see the consternation of Naaman, the anger, the annoyance of him. He said, I am sure that the prophet would come out and he'd wave his hands and do all these great things. But no, he didn't. He sent a simple message. That's all he did. And Naaman became arrogant and he became angry and he turned and went away in a rage. He said, you mean to tell me he's telling me to go and wash in that dirty old water in the River Jordan? It's the rivers back in Damascus. They've got clean water. Could I not go there? And so he was angry. There was this reaction from him. You tell a sinner today, you tell your friend that they have to go to Calvary. You tell your friend that they have to come by faith and trust in what God has done for them upon the cross of Calvary. You tell them that Jesus shed his blood upon the cross. We all know the reaction, don't we? Blood. That's too simple. Now tell us these things. But Naaman was angry in his wrath. But I was reminded of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. There it says what? It says the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved is the power of God. But we preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews a stumbling block. Unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men. And the weakness of God is stronger than men. The prophet's message was go and wash. 7 times. To Naaman, that was foolishness. To Naaman, that probably became a stumbling block as he thought about it. As we go out with the message of the cross today, there are many who think exactly the same thing. It's foolishness. To the Greeks, it's a stumbling block, even to the Jew. And it's foolishness to the Greek, the learned people, as it were. And the world today will do exactly the same. Let's remind ourselves that the message of the cross, it appears foolish, but it's wiser than that of man. It appears weak, but it's stronger than man. God knows what he's doing. And we sent his son to Calvary, even though in the eyes of many people, that was all foolishness. Think of the perfect righteousness of God. It's witnessed in the Savior's blood. It is in the cross of Christ we trace the righteousness, yet wondrous grace. God could not pass the sinner by. Justice demands that he should die. But in the cross of Christ we see how God can save, yet righteous be. The judgment fell on Jesus' head. It was in his blood sin's debt was paid. Stern justice can demand no more, and mercy can dispense or store. The sinner who believes is free can say, the sinner died, Savior died for me, can point to the atoning blood and say, this made my peace with God. The conception, how they conceived and how they understood, was totally wrong. And even the consternation it brought about, they didn't realize that God's plan of salvation for Naaman was simply, go wash 7 times. And so he says, and the message we have is, though people get angry, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Then we see concession. We find that, look, and the servants came near and said, speak unto Naaman and said to him, my father, if the prophet had bid thee do something great, wouldst thou not have done it? How much rather then when he saith thee, wash and be clean? Then he went down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan. He conceded. Rather, he acknowledged eventually, he admitted that this was the only way. And so he went down. He went down and dipped himself 7 times. And that's where I think you and I came to in our lives. One day we're out there as sinners, and faced with salvation, we saw the cross, and we came by faith. And we can see that, we acknowledge it. The ABC of salvation, what is it? Acknowledge that we're sinners, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and confess Him as Savior. And that's where it is. Naaman finally acknowledged it. His servant said to him, Master, if the prophet said to you, go and do something great, would you not have done it? He said, all he did to say was wash and be clean. And that's the message that you and I have. It's simple. It's simple. I remember a number of years ago when Billy Graham spoke in Buffalo, New York. We took a friend over. She was a member in the fellowship at Scott Lee. We took her over to hear him. And after the message and after the service, she turned to us and said, he's so simple. And he was. It's the simplicity of the gospel that people don't understand. But it's simple. We have to keep it simple. People come up today and I think they confuse people by what they say about the gospel. But it's simple, very simple. And Naaman finally considered, and he went down. And that's the conclusion in our service message today. He went down and he dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. He went down. He dipped himself 6 times? No. 7 times. I remember talking to children about this story many years ago. And of course, when I talked to children then, I began to get a little illustrative in what I was doing. And I pictured the servant standing by the river there. And there was Naaman. Finally, he conceded, he went into the water. And he went down 1 time. Up, and the leprosy was still there. He went down a 2nd time. And the servant was standing, Naaman. Remember, he put up his hand 7 times. Probably would do it to him. 5 times, 6 times. And Naaman came up, and the leprosy was still there. And the servant shouts out, 7 times. And Naaman finally went down and came up, and he was clean. Why was he clean? Because he had obeyed and he had done according to the word of the prophet. And that's the only way a sinner will come and be saved. Naaman dipped according to the saying of the word of God. And you and I came and we obeyed the word of God. We did according to what the word of God said. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but shall have everlasting life. That whosoever believeth in him, he that believeth in the Son is not condemned, and he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. John 5:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The little girl said, if only my master would go to Israel, he would be healed from his leprosy. We today, if only you believe and accept what God has done for you and me upon the cross of Calvary, then we are told that we will be saved. She listened. God said to what he said. He said, Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. And he was buried and he rose again the 3rd day according to the scriptures. Yes, Naaman was saved, as it were. He was delivered from his leprosy because he obeyed the word of the prophet. Finally, he came up and he was clean. He was clean. I can picture the servant that day. He was jumping around with joy. The little girl back home, back in Naaman's house, when she heard about it, there would be joy, wouldn't there, in her life. Naaman. The World's Bible Handbook to summarize the story like this. Naaman brought the wrong price. He went to the wrong person. He went to the wrong place. He had the wrong perception. He had the wrong potion. But finally, he followed the right prescription. And that's the message that we have today. I would say perhaps, I may be wrong here, but I believe everyone in our gathering today, we're all believers. But as we have go out, remember we have this message of the word to take to the world. They may react in different ways to it, but this is the only way that they will indeed be saved from sin in their lives. The price of the remedy for sin has been paid at the place called Calvary by the Lord Jesus Christ. By the shedding of his precious blood, it is by grace through faith in his finished work that we can be saved. Augustus Toplady wrote to him, "Rock of ages, cleft for me." You know, I was going to sing that at the end of it, and I turned to it in the blue or brown hymn book, and I find the words are totally different from what I think is the original. You compare the words in the hymn book was what I'm going to read. As the rock of ages cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which flow be of sin the double cure, save from wrath and make me pure. Not the labors of my hands can fulfill thy law's demands. Could my seal no respite know, could my tears forever flow, all for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. Nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. Naked, come to thee for dress. Helpless, look to thee for grace. Fall I to the fountain fly. Wash me, Savior, or I die. Not the labors of my hands can fulfill thy law's demands. Could my seal no respite know, could my tears forever flow, all for sin could not atone, thou must save, and thou alone. Naaman, he came the wrong way, etc. But finally he came, and by faith and trust in what the prophet had told him, he was saved from his leprosy. And so it is that you and I have experienced that in our lives. And as we take the message to the world, let us make it clear and plain that Christ receiveth sinful men. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we're so thankful today for your word. But Father, we thank thee for the day in our lives when we came to realize that we were sinners. But Father, we looked upon you and we saw that you were a God of love, that you love us so much that you sent your beloved Son, the Lord Jesus, all the way to Calvary to die in our place. And when you said that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. Father, may we take this word, even a word of exhortation to us, that we have a message of a person to take to the world who can save them from sin. So, Father, bless us now, we pray, as we thank thee once again for your word. In Jesus' name, amen.